Most of you know that Luke just graduated a couple days ago there in Pensacola from their Christian school. He was did the homeschool curriculum, but finished his course well and worked hard. Luke was a faithful volunteer to Good News Club. I just watched Luke just blossom, just especially over this past year, just coming every Wednesday. He'd come here early, help get things pulled out of the closet and get it all organized and loaded up on the vehicles. He'd help set it up, break down, then come back and put it back. And he was just faithful and just been an encouragement to me. And the delicious coffee, by the way, that you drink on Wednesday nights, that's what I call the Luke special, all right? Because Brother Luke makes that coffee for us to enjoy. And just in the little things, Brother Luke's a servant at heart, and God's called him to preach. And I surprised him the other day, just a couple days ago. I just sent him a text. I was like, oh, yeah, he's graduated. He's up there in the clouds right now. I'm going to send him a text saying, hey, brother, you want to preach on Sunday night? And so I sent him a text, and I didn't know what to expect. I said, I'd like for you want to bring a message Sunday night. And the text I got back, and it wasn't long, he said, sure. So I was like, wait, amen. And he told me earlier, he's like, boy, that brought me down real quick. He said, get ready for that. But I love you, Brother Luke. You come up and preach God's word to us. Get your Bibles out, folks, and let's let the Lord speak to us.
Thank you, Brother Luke.
Thank you, Pastor.
Appreciate
it. And you know, I can't describe how shocked I was when I got that section, Pastor. But I'm very glad to be preaching here. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel.
Amen.
We'll be in Daniel chapter 1. And as you're turning, I want you to think with me here for a second on who your favorite character in the Bible is. Many of us have many different favorite characters, whether it's Job, David. There's so many good characters in the Bible. But my favorite is Daniel. And no, my favorite is not Luke. So it is Daniel, and that's where we'll be tonight, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read the whole first chapter. So we'll start in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his land, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability and to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. Verse 14 says, so he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, and all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. The title of my message tonight is Facing temptations. And by the end of this message, I want you to be challenged in your walk with God and how you deal with temptations. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives through this message. And I pray that you would just work through me and in me. Lord, I pray that we'd all be able to apply something from this message and just apply it to our lives. And I pray this in your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So number one, we see resisting temptations. So we see here in the first part of chapter 1 that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, trying to find some young men. Four of those young men, as it says in verses 3 through 7, are Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken away from Judah, where they had basically been their whole lives, all the way to Babylon to serve the king. Now, what's so crazy about this is that they were probably around my age. So I can't imagine being taken up where I grew up my whole life, all the way to a different place to serve a king or a leader. And it says in verses 8 through 17 that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not give in and eat the king's meat. Daniel resisted the temptation to defile himself and eat the king's meat. Now, what is the definition of temptation? Temptation is the strong desire to do something wrong or sinful. Think in your life as I think in mine. Temptations are all around us. It seems like everywhere we go we have temptations. Even as little kids we had the temptation, or the draw to lie, to disobey our parents, to steal. And even today, years later, we have those same temptations and even more. Temptations are everywhere. But we see in the Bible that temptation is not a sin. Even Jesus was tempted by Satan. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew 4. You may want to hold your place in Daniel because we'll be back. Matthew chapter 4. And we see here in this passage that Satan tempted Jesus, but we see how Jesus reacted. So Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against his stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It says here that Satan tried and tried again to tempt God. Whether it was to turn the stones into bread, or even just to bow down to Satan himself. So if Jesus cannot sin, which is said in the Bible many times, and we never see Jesus sin while he walks on the earth, and Jesus was tempted by Satan, we can see that being tempted is not a sin. Now what is a sin is giving into the temptation and letting Satan win. The Bible says in James 4:17, Therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have a conscience. We know what is good and we know what is bad, but every time we give into the sin, we defile ourselves, and it displeases God. The Bible says that sin is an abomination to God. Sin is only pleasurable for a time. At first, you know, it's not that bad, but deep down you know what you are doing is not making God happy. God wants to help you resist temptation. God knows our struggles, each and every one of them. It's like that person that can look at you and know exactly what's wrong or what happened. Right. I can remember maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I was 7 or 8, and my mom made this fresh pan of brownies. And I really wanted the brownie. And me being me, I wasn't going to be patient. So I snuck downstairs, made sure no one was around, and I looked at this pan of brownies, and I thought to myself, what should I do? So I took my finger, and I just scooped out a piece, I think 4 or 5 times, out of this pan of brownies, and I ate it. And when I was done, I was sitting there looking at the pan, and I was wondering, what should I do? Because there's no way to cover this up. So I just kind of sat there for a few seconds, and I thought, maybe I could get back to my room. So I turned around and tried to sneak down the hallway, and I was looking at the ground trying to be quiet. And I heard footsteps coming my way, and guess who it was? It was my mom. She didn't have to look at that pan of brownies or my fingers to know what happened. She knew exactly what I did. And just like God, God sees everything that you do. He sees when you sin and he sees when you do right. But God is faithful to help us with sin and temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." This verse is saying that there will be temptations, there will be struggles, but God is faithful. God will make a way for us to escape temptation, just like with Daniel. Turn with me back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And we'll read verses 9. We see here how God made a way for Daniel to escape the temptation of eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. So Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Now God hath brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." It says that God brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. God made a way for Daniel to escape the temptation. There's always a way to escape temptation. God does not put a temptation or a trial in our lives that we cannot bear. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were repeatedly tempted to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, but they sought God daily and resisted the temptation. Every temptation that we go through, God is there, and He's there to help bring us out of the temptation. The Bible says that whoever cries out to God, that in return the Lord will help us. But what we need to do daily is set our eyes on things above. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." What are you setting your eyes on? What are your goals? What does your free time look like? Are you spending time with God each and every day? Suppose every day you get up and go through your day never once praying and never once looking at your Bible. Your thoughts probably aren't going to be on God. They're going to be on whatever you're doing that day. And it would be probably a lot harder to escape temptations. Then suppose you woke up and read your Bible, prayed and asked God for help that day and all the trials and temptations that you'll face. That day you're probably going to be thinking about God and what you've learned from His Word. And temptations will be a lot easier knowing that you can call out to God. Now compare those 2 days. Which one would you rather have? The one where you think about worldly things and have a hard time with temptations? Or would you rather choose the day where you read God's Word, dwell on it, and know that He is there to help? I'm not saying that if you don't read your Bible that God won't be there for you. He will always be there as long as you don't reject God enough for Him to leave you, as Pastor said this morning. But at least for me, I know it's a lot easier going through the day if I get up and dwell on the Lord all day. Day in and day out, Daniel wanted to be closer to God. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." I saw this example last year at Teen Extreme. I think Kenny Baldwin was speaking. And so say I'm over here and I represent the Christians in their daily struggle with temptation. Say God's over there. "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." So we can stand here and say, "I want to get closer to God." Oh, we want to. But if we're not reading our Bible, if we're not praying, if we're not resisting temptations, if we're not doing what we're supposed to every day, we're not going to draw nigh to God. But say we stand here and say, "I want to get closer to God." And we read our Bible every day. That's a step. And then God takes a step towards us. We pray every day. That's another step. God takes another step towards us. Resist temptations, that's another step. God takes another step towards us. And it's on and on, drawing nigh to God. Amen. Every day, Daniel wanted to be in God's Word and spend time in prayer. There is no doubt that Daniel was not tempted, but he overcame the temptations by staying strong in the Word. So throughout this short little challenge, I wanted you to look on your life and examine how you respond to temptation. God is always willing to help overcome. Here are some just practical ways that I've helped that I've found that kind of helped me with temptations. Number one, I would say, quoting Scripture, the Bible says to hide God's Word in your heart. So we can see that it's very important to memorize Scripture. And even a verse like we just read, Matthew 4, verse 10, when Jesus is tempted to bow down to Satan, Jesus says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." I found that verse helps me with any kind of temptation. That whenever I quote that verse or read it, that it helps me set my eyes back on God. And second, I would say prayer. Prayer is very important. And I would, even if it's a short little prayer, prayer always helps me set my eyes back on God. And third, I would say that just knowing that there is always a way to escape the temptation with God's help. As I read 1 Corinthians 10:13 earlier, see if I can find it here. It says, "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Yes. It's not about being tempted, it's how you react to temptations. How do you react to temptations? Do you give in, or do you try to seek God and ask Him for help? Billy Sunday said this, "Temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole, yielding is opening the door and inviting him in." Don't invite Satan in. Don't let temptations win. If you see Satan peeking through the keyhole, run. Run to God.
Amen.
And as I come to a close, if God has spoken to you tonight about how you deal with temptations, I would encourage you to come down to this altar after I pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message that you've given me. I pray that it would just work tonight. I pray that the glory would go to your name, Lord. I pray that you would just have a change in this auditorium. I pray that everybody would listen to you and their hearts would be turned to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.